The boogie-woogie sounds of the Glenn Miller Orchestra bebopped from a nearby radio as the new summer washed Brooklyn in sunlight. The bright rays streaked through the leaves of the tall, gangly sycamore trees, off the windshield of the Studebaker Commander, to the ragtop of the Ford Super Deluxe, and down to the running boards of the Chrysler Saratoga. People darted in and out of the various mom-and-pop stores that lined each side of the street. The pork store, the candy store, the toy store. The sun shone like a spotlight on the glass door of Scotty's barbershop. The lazy serenity came to a crashing halt as the glass door shattered. A young man was ejected from the barbershop, right through the thick glass and splintered wood of the quivering front door. Three attackers streamed out after him. One slammed his bony back with a thick-handled baseball bat. Another added some powerful kicks to the rib cage of the prone victim. A third burly thug hoisted a metal trash can, full and heavy with rancid baking garbage, and hammered it down upon the bloodied young man. The trash exploded like stinking confetti all around and on top of the semi-conscious prey. His blood ran serpentine down the sunny sidewalk towards the base of the rather sickly sycamore tree. The bloody motif eerily reflected the hypnotic spinning of the red and white barber pole that stood just a few feet behind him. "Get your hair cut someplace else," barked one thug. "This is my neighborhood." "Clean all this shit up," yelled another, "and come back later to pay for the door."
Directly across the street from Scotty's barber shop was Angelino's bakery. The tempting aroma of his cookies and cakes wafted out of the open counter window. Determined to fill the entire neighborhood, it was through that same wonderful window that Angelo would sell his deliciously thick Italian ices. At the moment, however, the baker's hand, still dripping with lemon ice, held a firm grip on the arm of a man who stood on the outside of the counter window. The broad-shouldered man was dressed in a perfectly pressed military uniform. The baker's grip deeply wrinkled the shoulder sleeve.
"Take your ice, soldier. Ignore. Don't get involved. My boy's calling an ambulance."
The baker loosened his chintz as the uniformed man lifted his lemon ice to his lips. His dress cap kept the sun from his wavy dark hair and deep brown eyes, but it shone brightly on his strong, thick jaw. Salvatore Salerno, in his mid-20s, on his first day home from World War II, watched the three tough guys head back into the barbershop across the street. He then put three pennies down on the counter, two copper, one steel.
"Not a chance, Sal. It's on me, paisan. Welcome home."
"Go ahead, buddy. Let me pay you for it."
"No can do. The Krauts have finished. Hitler's dead. Yous guys are heroes."
"Well," replied Sal,
"Japan says they'll never surrender."
"You believe that crap?"
Sal Salerno flashed a wide grin as he licked his frosty treat.
"Nah."
Sal pointed at the square, walnut-colored RCA AM radio on the counter playing big band music.
"Say there, is that Glenn Miller?"
"Yeah, God rest him,"
Angelo replied.
"What a shame."
"He's another hero, you know. He was flying his airplane to France to play for the soldiers."
"I know, flying to France."
"Some people will tell you that God took him," said the baker. "Reached his hand down from heaven and took Glenn Miller and his plane right out of the sky."
Sal paused, then tapped the counter and began to walk down the street. Directly across, two women rendered aid to the beaten man as he coughed, spat, and struggled to sit up. A horn blared as a mustard-yellow 1942 Packard Clipper ambled by.
"Jumpin', Jesus, is that Sal Salerno? Welcome home," the driver yelled.
"Thank you,"
he replied with a salute. As he walked on, Sal heard another yell from across the street behind him.
"About time you got back, cuz. I ain't hit on a pony since you've been gone."
Sal turned to see his cousin, Vito Salerno. He opened his arms.
"Vito, your pimples have cleared up."
Sal's cousin was a few years his junior, but appeared even younger. The light gray felt fedora he wore was too big for his head. His eyes were wide, and he gleamed with nervous energy.
"Wise guy," replied Vito. "You look good, too. You're home just in time. Your cousin Vito is getting married next week."